blemish. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I, like Eddie, am a last-minute ring-in. So I would ask you, beg your graciousness as I present this message to you. How many of you, and I ask a question, how many of you have ever been placed in a position where you're asked to do something and a task or whatever, and you really don't feel that you have the confidence to do it? Anybody? I certainly have. And this is really not unlike what happened to Moses in the reading that we had this morning. Just to recap, Tanya last week talked about the birth of Moses in the royal household of the Pharaoh, where he'd been raised and certainly experienced a very luxurious life and was educated and so forth. We know then at one stage he killed an Egyptian who had been hurting one of the Hebrews. And then Moses fled the land. And that's where we pick up the reading this morning. And we read this morning that Moses married Zipporah, who was the daughter of Jethro, his father-in-law, who was a priest at Midian. So we have Moses moved away from his previous life. He'd been there a long period of time, and he was tending a flock of sheep. We know of someone else in the Old Testament who was a shepherd and had a very prominent position later, and that was certainly David. So he was tending his sheep at the western side of the desert, at the mountain of God. And we also know in the Old Testament that mountains feature often as a place that God appears to his people. And when he was on the mountain, there came the angel of the Lord. That's interchangeable term with God. And as Andrew so eloquently demonstrated with his plant, there was a bush. It was, in fact, a bush that began to burn. And the unusual thing about this was, even though it was burning, it wasn't consumed. So Moses thought, I better go over there. It's a very strange sight. I'll go and see why it doesn't burn up. And behold, from the bush emanated the voice and of God who called him, Moses, Moses. Interesting, isn't it? He called him by his own personal name. How often does God call us? Want to be in relationship with us? He said, Moses, Moses. And very dutifully, Moses said, here I am. How often do we say that? Here I am, Lord. Replying really in obedience. And God responds, now don't come any closer. Don't come any closer. Because where you're standing is holy ground. Holy ground denoting or meaning that is where there is the presence of God. And what you have to do is you have to take your sandals off. Interesting. Often in a lot of cultures, out of respect, people take their shoes off. I have a little four-year-old grandson, and every time his mother is Asian, and every time Hamish comes into the house, he takes his shoes off. And it's a sign of respect in that particular culture. So God says, take your shoes, take your sandals off, because where you're standing is very special. It's holy ground. And then he actually explains who he is. And he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Really daunting. This is the God of the ancestors. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Obviously, really overawed. And then it's interesting because God says to Moses, I can see what's been happening to your people. I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've not only seen them, I've also heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, because we remember that the Hebrews were enslaved by Pharaoh. And God says, and I'm concerned about their suffering. When we undergo suffering or pain or despair, God's concerned about us. Just as he was concerned about the Hebrews, because God loves us and he cares for us. And he said, and what I'm going to do is to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. I'm going to save them and bring them, take them out into a land that's good and spacious and filled with milk and honey. And I'm going to place them in the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, and so forth. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now I want you to do something. Go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. He's starting to give Moses a plan or an overview of what he wants him to do. But Moses said to him, who am I? A bit like sometimes when we're asked to do something, who am I? I don't have the skills to do that. I'm not capable of doing that. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God's response is very comforting and very reassuring. And he says, I will be with you as he is with us. And this will be a sign. I'm going to give you something positive. I'm going to give you a sign that it is me that has sent you. And when you bring the people out of Egypt, you will worship God by this mountain. Then again, Moses said, but what if I go to the people and they don't believe me? They don't know who sent me. Moses is starting to raise barriers. He's afraid. He's fearful. The God of your... Moses said to God, I suppose if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent to me, and they ask me, what is his name? Generally, we like to know people's names. Give some validity to a situation, some credibility to a situation. Then what should I tell them? God says, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you, Jehovah, the other name for Jehovah. And then he tells him to do something else. You see, he's got a plan. There's an action plan here, for want of contemporary language. God's telling him what to do. I want you to go and assemble, get together the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, appeared to me and reassure the Israelites that God has said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you. So Moses is the vehicle by which he goes to the Israelites to reassure them that God knows what is happening and he's going to do something about it. And that he's to say to them, and I've promised to bring you up out of your misery into the land of milk and honey and so forth. And do you know what? The elders of Israel are going to listen to you. That's reassuring, isn't it? Because Moses was so doubting. Then you and the elders are go to the king of Egypt and say to him. So the elders and Moses are then to go to Pharaoh and say, that the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and we need to take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. What a strange request. God is saying to Moses, now you go back to the elders and say who I am, and then they will believe you, and then you go to Pharaoh and say, we want, you know, come out of enslavement and go for 3 days and worship God. But God says, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Moses is being forewarned that there is going to be hostile objection by the Pharaoh. It's not going to be easy. Sometimes things that God asks us to do are not easy. If we're responsive when he asks us to serve, sometimes it's not easy. We were never promised that our faith journey would be easy. And God continues, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. And the mighty hand, of course, will be the hand of God. We move on then to read a bit later that Moses objects again, and he said, I can't go to the Pharaoh. I'm not eloquent enough. I don't have the verbal skills. Another objection, you see, to serving. However, God says to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? God is saying, you know, I equip you with everything that you need. I give you everything to serve. And he says, now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to do. Again, Moses says, but please send someone else to do it. He doesn't want to do it. Doesn't want the task, the onus, the responsibility. Then we're told that the Lord's anger turned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother? His older brother was Aaron, of course. Aaron the Levite. And God says, I know he can speak well. He's already on the way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you to speak to the people for you. And it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. God's an equipping God. He comes up with solutions. So there we have Aaron, Moses' older brother, who will accompany him and be the mouthpiece, so to speak. So he, as we shall later see, does that. After all this had transpired, Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, now let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are alive. He knew what his task was. He knew how he was going to do it. He knew the objections that were going to arise. And so we see that the Lord said to Moses, now go back to Egypt, for all the men who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and his sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. So what can we learn from this? I've really highlighted it along the way, that Moses was called to do an incredibly difficult task. God was there. God was willing to give him the skills that he needed in terms of validating himself to the Israelites. But God would be present. He said, I'm with you always as he is with us. So we will possibly learn in future weeks what will happen when Moses returns to Egypt. We know later that there will be 9 plagues, and eventually the Israelites will flee and they will return to the promised land. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we learn a little more of you each time that we read your word. We just ask that you bless us in our service to you. May we have willing hearts to do whatever you want us to do in your service, whether it be small or large. Give us obedient hearts, Lord, and we pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Please stand for the hymn, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.